If you know John and Janet Henrich at all, you know that their hearts are for God. I'm sure they would be the first people to tell you they're not perfect. None of us are, but I've experienced these two to be very intentional when it comes to hearing from the Lord and putting their walks with God first in their lives. So they're both well-respected in our church because of that, and of course they've been faithful members and friends here for many years, friends of many. So together now we have the opportunity to hear what the Lord has placed on John's heart this morning to share with us, because he is going to come speak with us now. So would you welcome with me John Henrich.
I'll open with a prayer first, if I can. Father God, can we just give you this time, Lord? I pray, Father God, for tender hearts to receive what you have for them today, Lord God. But more importantly, Lord God, I pray I be obedient to you, Father God, and I not get in the way of your plans and your purposes for this time. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is the day I'm thankful for praise and blessing time. And for people that can't keep it short, so thank you. I appreciated that. I'm looking at the clock, so thank you. I had a timeline that Pastor Eric gave me to fall into, and I probably want to lean more towards the short part of it than the long part of it, so you might get out of here early today, too, if things go like that. Pastor Eric asked me quite a few months ago to preach. He actually asked me a couple of times, and both times I denied it, and I said I was too busy, and that was partially true, and I was busy. It was during the fall time, but I got to apologize to you. There was fear. There was in that, and there was just knowing that, not wanting to do it, I guess. So I apologize for that, and I'm here today, and see what God can do. But at that time, you know, I was busy. It was fall, and so Pastor Eric asked me again. I think it was in January. And I said, yeah. I waited. I didn't answer right away. I didn't answer his email right away, but I did answer. And so then the first this month comes, and I end up having to get called to work down in southern Minnesota during the week. And so I'm gone during the week, and the days are kind of busy and intense, and being home on weekends. But God knew what he's doing. He knows what he can do when I'm obedient to him, when I take the time to leave the TV off and be in that motel room, just him and I. And he did do some pretty neat things, and I'm thankful for that. And I apologize, too, when I get nervous. I have a tendency to talk fast. I have my coach over here that's going to give me some signs when I need to slow down. So I apologize for that, but I'll try not to stutter. I'm kind of out of my element here. Those of you that know me and I've grown up with, you know that it's not me to be able to stand up and do this. So here goes. Most of us have heard of and asked this question at one time in our life. The question is, if you were to die tonight, do you know where you will spend eternity? And for most, if not all of us, that was a pivotal point in our lives. It's a time when we decided and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know, but how are we doing since? You know, since we made that decision, how are we doing? Are we growing? Are we maintaining? Do our lives look much different today than they did when we made that decision for Him? Are we spending more time in the Word? You know, there's a definite link between time spent in the Word and our spiritual growth. There's a verse that drives part of this to me in 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And that's been something that's been kind of driving at me. I want to finish strong. I want to finish strong. But, you know, do we know what we're fighting for? Do we know what we're heading for? You know, it's kind of like our paraphrase, the same Pastor Eric uses. You know, we want to finish strong. The goal. And to go back to that, so I read 1 Timothy 6:11 to 12. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So we want to finish strong. And this being an election year, are you guys sick of any polls yet? Have you been polled to death? Well, I got to apologize. I have some results of one poll to share with you. And it's one that is important to our lives as Christians, as followers of Christ. This is an important poll. And it's one that was taken of Christians, church attenders. And I'll go slow with the results. And it's considering our Bible reading, how much time we spend in the Word. There's 6% of us that read it 3 to 4 times a year. 9% read it just once a month. 8% once a week. 14% several times a week. And another 14% daily. You know, and if that's supposed to be what helps us, what feeds us in our spiritual walk, what makes us grow, why are our numbers so poor? Why do we not take the time to feed what sustains us? And yet nearly half of all Americans believe that the Bible contains everything, not just some things, but everything a person needs to know and live a meaningful life. Half of the people that were surveyed believe that. You know, it's a discipline that we need to do. And Lord, give me a comparison for this. Feeding our inner man, reading the Bible, comparing that to our physical. You know, we wouldn't think of, none of us would, I don't think of just sitting up to the table on Sunday, eating our meal, and expect to be nourished for the whole week, thinking we could go strong and hang in there all week long with just eating that one meal. In the same way, you know, we can't feed our inner spirit just one day a week and expect our inner man to be healthy, to be growing, to be able to withstand everything that the world sends our way. You know, we can't do that in just one day a week. The world is full of so many distractions. And so many distractions come against us. And the number one reason that people gave for not being in the Word was because they were too busy. Too much to do. And I remember Pastor Eric's sermon from not too long ago. He preached that sermon about busyness in our lives. You know, along with that, another little comparison to the spiritual and physical side. I'm on the road a lot. So I get a lot of windshield time, which gives me a lot of radio time. And I get to listen to KCJN, K95, The Refuge, all different ones as I travel. And I like to think of that time, you know, when I'm driving, the time of listening to the radio and Christian radio, that's my snack time. You know, because I'm getting little nuggets of truth. I'm getting God's Word spoken into me and stuff spoken into my life. There's been a few times I've had to pull over, you know, because God is just speaking to me and I can't drive. And it's good. It's good, very good to get that nourishment throughout the day. So just think about that when only half of us believe it, but we got to do it. And yet so little of us do. Over the last couple of years, I have felt a real drawing, a pulling on me that there's to be more. There's more to do. God wants more to do. He wants to do more in me, with me, you know, for Him. And one night as I was praying about that, just wondering what it was and, you know, if it has something to do with work or what it is, I didn't know. And God impressed this question on me. If you will live to see tomorrow, will you live any differently than you have today? So I kind of changed that. If I live to see tomorrow, will I live any differently than I have lived today? You know, and I've asked myself that question many times. And I know I've been more consistent at it since Pastor Eric has asked me to preach because I knew the Lord was impressing it on my heart. So I've asked myself that more. And it really made me look at the choices I make and how that affects my family, my friends, my coworkers, and those I meet. Am I really positively affecting them for Christ, for the cause of Christ, or what is my life a reflection of? You know, and two, it's kind of interesting how God works, you know, because we've been so blessed here with the preaching. And even when Ben preached that one his sermon here a couple weeks ago, I was extremely challenged by that, because I got out of that, the Lord wants me to speak the truth in love. You know, and my responses to people, how am I? Am I showing anger? You know, I've got some guys at work that know which buttons to push, you know, and they like to see it, to see if they can get me riled up. But I think I've been softened, you know, since that, and changing my, God has changed in me how I respond and how I take what they say. But I'd like to take this time, too, to share with you a couple of my experiences that God has been doing with me since I've been asking myself this question. Things that that he needed his touch in my life. Things that I needed to repent of. Actions, thoughts, words, lifestyle. He has used my quiet time, the radio, my Bible reading, TV talk shows, athletes, to speak to me and to answer that question. Now, he doesn't do it right away. You know, I don't get an answer, boom, I might not. Well, I got him a different time throughout the day. But I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I know that. And I know right now that I'm a more repentant sinner saved by grace because of what God is doing. My first story is going to be about a popular football player. And I don't want to come across as being judgmental, critical of this guy, anything like that. It's just using his life experience, something he said, something he did, as a teachful moment. I believe in teachful moments. We tried to capitalize on those when our kids are growing up. If something did something, we could use it as a teachful moment. We'd explain it to them and use it. So don't take this personally if you're a big fan of his. Most of you know who he is. I won't mention his name, but I'm sure most of you guys know who it is. But this was a TV commercial that he did, or an ad, whatever you want to call it, following their 15-1 season. He just finished his workout. And he says a prayer. This is the prayer he said. And it caught my attention because he was praying. Dear God, people say you should be yourself, but they never considered me. I know you molded me differently. You placed purpose on my shoulders. So now I come to you, Lord. Give me strength to finish this my way. You know, and it caught my attention when he was praying, because there's truth in that. There's a lot of truth in that. We were created for a purpose. You know, God puts it on our shoulders. He puts it in our heart's purpose for his life. But when he got to the part, finish this my way, that's just, ooh, now you're saying, I'm taking care of this, you know? That kind of leaves God out of it. And when I heard that, first I maybe got a little critical for him because of his attitude that he's had. But then God said to me, he said, John, how about you? How many times have you prayed like that? Lord, let me, Lord, give me. Lord, I want. Not surrendering the need into his hands, but wanting my will. Then I had to pray, Father, forgive me. You know, and I'm sure that had he prayed that prayer differently, had he not done that, I don't think it would have maybe adjusted the outcome of the game. But it might have changed his heart, so his response is now he handled the loss. Because they did lose. How he handled the loss might have been differently, because his heart would have been right, because he had known he wasn't doing it on his own. That's just my take of it, had his heart been right. Another one. You all know Joyce Meyer. For many years, Sean had listened to her, and she rubbed me the wrong way. Something about her voice, anyway. I confess, I couldn't sit and listen to her. Well, God used her too. One morning in the motel room, when I got up, I was getting ready, and I turned the TV on, and she was talking. And she was preaching. I shouldn't say talking. She was preaching. She was preaching, and it was on being a blessing to others, sacrificial giving. And she was talking about thinking of what you have. Is this before Christmas, probably early December, and what you have, and it's mostly women there because see how many shoes you have and how many pair you have, and you know the next time you want to go bike or how much, taking that money and blessing someone else with it, denying yourself. And I felt convicted right away because there was something I'd been saving up for, and the Lord moved on my heart that you got to give that away. You know, so we did that. Gave it away at Christmas time, and then felt very blessed because I'm doing what God wanted to do. And God wasn't done with that yet. At the same time, he has been talking to Janet and on the same thing. And it was with our kids in Christmas time, you know, and we were led to give them a gift of money and then wanted to give them the gift of giving and put a note in there with it and ask that they give it away, that they give it to some people and be a blessing to them. And we still haven't heard what all the results were of that, but we know we're faithful in what God asks us to do. You know, so I thought, after it's said and done, I thought, oh, this is pretty easy. But then I got to listen to another story on the radio again, coming home from Iowa. And this was a family talking who had been in severe debt, credit card debt. And they set up a budget, and we were working their way out of debt. And while they were getting out of debt, the Lord, too, moved on them to start being a blessing to others. And they actually put it into the budget, to a money set aside to just be a blessing. So if they're out at a restaurant or in a clothing store, wherever they be at, and if the Lord moves on them to go give somebody a blessing, they have that set aside. You know, so making it part of their daily giving, not taking away from their tithes, not taking away from anything else, but making it part of their regular giving. So we agreed to do that. We thought, well, let's do it. If this is what God wants to do, make it part of the budget. Once it's gone the first month, it's like we used to it, you know, setting up your budget. So the radio ministered a lot to me. And another one is, I was down in Iowa again, and driving, and this talk show's on, and this gal's talking about how we respond on the phone and that. And I've been doing phone calls and playing phone tag and stuff with trying to interview applicants and that for jobs, for tech positions, and getting frustrated because you're playing phone tag, you know. When I'm on the road, I don't have much time to call them, so playing phone tag and getting a little frustrated. And it was just an ad. It came on, and, you know, the phone rings, and she gets the answer machine, and she says her little spiel how she wanted to talk about something, and blah, 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 you know, this is what it's going to be. And she says, wait a minute. And she prayed a prayer, a blessing on them. She blessed them, you know, and then she hung up. And then they came back on, how about you? You know, what are you doing? And this happened, I felt a little convicted, you know, because that's not the way I've been handling that, because it's like another phone call I have to make again. So needless to say, I didn't do that the first time I got it. I just left my message and hung up. Well, 3 days later, I'm trying to set up, talking to a guy in Fargo, and playing phone tag again. And this time, this gal answered, and she says, no, she's sorry, he's busy, he can't come to the phone right then. And I said, okay, you know, and I gave her my phone number and my name and that, and she said something else. We had a little conversation, and then she says, well, thank you. And then she prayed a blessing on me, and she said my name, you know. And I swear to you, if Ann Hoshek has a sister, that's her. It was her to a T. You know, I swear that's who I was talking to. I still struggle there. I can't get myself to, you know, it must be the fear of how I'm going to be accepted, but it's the fear of doing that when I get them voicemail. I got to leave a voicemail. I still struggle. This next one is one that I need to share, that being on the road a lot, and traveling and stuff, and where I'm at right now, I want to be careful that I don't fall into a pit or down a slippery slope. The verse is in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Jeremy is a friend of Garrett's. He came home at Christmas time. He's from the Congo. He came home at Christmas time with Garrett, and he's an international student, so he was no place to go, so we invited him in. Well, there's another friend that came with him, but it's about Jeremy. He came and was sharing, and you know, I not know much about international students and how it all works, and had some questions, and Janet had questions. We're talking to him, you know, because they come over here and maybe only go back once or twice in the 6-8 years they're here, you know, if they decide to go back or if they decide to stay here, you know. So we're talking to him and asking him how hard it was, you know, and how you do it. And he talks about his family having to flip around to the financial burden that's on his parents, you know. And he's talking about his dad. And you could hear the emotion in his voice, and just, I turned away because I knew I was going to be that way. But I turned away from him because he was talking about his dad when he left. And his dad was saying to him, Jeremy, when you go over there, you must choose good friends. You must choose good friends. If you don't, and you do, like, he named some friends from his town that had came here and didn't make it. They fell into drugs, to whatnot, to partying, and didn't make it. They didn't get their degrees. Jeremy, if you don't choose good friends, it will kill me. You know, he said his dad is just weeping, telling him this, you know. You know, that doesn't matter. Church family, that doesn't matter. If you're this tall, if you're in your teens, your 20s, your 30s, 40s, 50s, it doesn't matter how old you are. We all can be affected by those around us. The friends we choose make a difference. You know, I've witnessed so many friends, some relatives, coworkers, that were living strong Christian lives. They made some bad choices and aren't now. You know, and I want to finish strong. I want to surround myself with people that are going to encourage me, people that are going to challenge me. I don't know where this came from. It's something I wrote down one time, so I can't give credit to where credit's due, but it will always come down to the walk. And that walk must be with a few good friends. Close friends. Friends we're doing real life with each other, holding one another accountable. That's what it comes down to. And Jesus showed us that with how he walked with his disciples. He was real with them. And that's what we have to be, is real with each other. John Maxwell, too, I've always enjoyed his books and his preaching. This is a quote of his. You'll never change your life until you change something you do every day. One day at a time. We must get into the Word. We've got to stay in the Word. And when I was reading this, a couple of people called it Bible engagement. Bible engagement. And I thought, Bible engagement, what does that mean? So I looked up the word engagement. And engagement means, anybody know? It means an agreement to do something at a fixed time. So Bible engagement, we're agreeing to meet with God at a fixed time. You know, is that an engagement we should keep? I think so. But when you look at it that way, as an engagement, it makes it more precious. It makes it something special. You know, it's held up here. It's not just reading the Bible and zoop, 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 you're through it, and it's in here and gone for me, but it's got to be engagement. God is a great God. He's a loving God. He wants to walk with us more closely. He wants us to walk more closely with him. When we call out to him in prayer, when we trust in him, like Roshana's showing us, like she's going through, you know, he's going to answer us. He's going to answer us, so in his time and according to his plan, if we let him. You know, some of you may already be prayer similar to what I prayed, you know, but that's great. But if not, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to pray that prayer and ask God, if I live to see tomorrow, will I live any differently than I have lived today? Pray that prayer and ask him. And see what he can do in your life.
Yeah, thank you so much, John. Thanks for opening your heart to us, and it's a strong message. Let's pray, and then we'll close with a hymn here. But, oh, Lord, this is what it's all about. You know, we all come into this world wanting to do it my way, but part of your teaching to us as we grow and understand and mature is that it is best for us when we do it your way, because you are teaching us how we were created to live, how we were created to function. You are the one who brings us to the right paths. So, and we learn the right paths, and we learn how to do it your way by being in relationship with you, by letting your spirit nudge us as we spend time thinking about you and praying to you, just as John has been talking about here today. And then, Lord, by reading your word, because your word is alive and it has the power to change us and to keep changing us. There's not a person in this room, no matter how long they've been walking with you, that isn't still being changed, Father, on a daily basis. But it doesn't happen if we never open the book, if we don't pray, if we don't spend time with you. So, Lord, what a strong message and reminder for us today, what Christianity is about, what following you is about. May we all be blessed by this and be thinking about these things, and as we maybe seek even tomorrow to start doing something differently than we've done the day before. Thank you, Lord, for this word. We pray this in your name. Amen.